Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sid Warrior podcast. Today, we have an interesting guest. We have Deepak. We are going to talk about career Kida. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship. We will talk about how do you decide what to do in life. And we will talk about a little bit about Gita as well. Deepak, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you so much, Sid. I'm looking forward to the conversation. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be a good one. I've seen a lot of your work on social. Let's get to know you in personal life as well.
Yes, let's get started. I'm really curious about hearing your journey. How did you end up over there, and how did you get started on the social media?
So the journey, I mean, I'd say it's been a roller coaster ride. Yeah, I think with most of the journeys that we hear from people, it's been a journey with ups and downs, lows and highs. Primarily lows more than highs, I'd say. That's how I've learned. That's how I've grown over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So I'll just, you know, quickly run through my journey as to what happened. So I was in class 12. I'll go that far.
It's not, usually the, I mean, just to take a tangent, it's usually the lows that create a great story.
Absolutely. So
I'm looking forward to this.
I think I came across a tweet by, I think, Varun Agarwal, who mentioned that my failures are, you know, helping me deliver a good TEDx talk. So it probably helps me that way. Yeah. But yeah, so I think I'll go back to class 12 when I think everybody was figuring out sort of their first way to figure out their careers. And I was very sure that I wanted to take up commerce. And I happened to be coming from a middle-class Marwadi family. I was born in Rajasthan. I was brought up in Calcutta. So I've lived all my life in Calcutta for the last 25 years. I'm 25 right now. And just in Jan that I moved here in the UK. So I'll tell you why I've moved here. So yeah, so I think when I was in class 12, I took up commerce just like most of my friends. And, you know, I wanted to do commerce. Little did I know what exactly commerce was. And I was like, okay, commerce, science to hota nahi hai. So with the theory of elimination, I think commerce is something that I'm left with. So let's go ahead and do it. So commerce le liya. And then if you happen to be from Calcutta doing BCom, BBA or anything in the commerce field, the famous combination happens to be CA or company secretaryship along with BCom. CA, CS or CFA.
Correct.
So I was like, okay, this is the ultimate route. Yahi karna hai, toh let's go ahead and do it. And I was like, and so I walked up to my dad and I told him, what do I do? Because he's a qualified company secretary. So I asked him, what do I do? He's like, CA, CS ka form bharo and start appearing for exams. And I'm like, great. Now you've not asked me what I want to do. You're just like, bharo and just sit for the exams.
Your destiny is clear.
Your destiny is clear, not said by me, but okay. So I'm like, okay, bharte hain. I gave the exam. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know, I cleared the first level of the exam. Yeah. By then I didn't. And then I gave the second level of the CA exam. Okay. And I failed. I gave multiple attempts and I failed. Only to realize later on that I didn't want to do this, right? Okay. This choice I realized later on was because of the environment I was surrounded by. Right. When I was in college, in a class of 70 odd people, there were 60 people who were doing BCom plus CA. Right. And then I thought, is this the only correct option that's left in front of me as a commerce, as a BCom student, or what else is there in front of me? Right. So I actually didn't want to take up chartered accountancy as a profession. I was doing it because the dad told me ki dekh lo bhar lo sit for the exam. And then of course when I moved to college, like there were more than 90% of my class was doing the same thing. So I thought, yeah, theek hai, yehi karte hain. And then I realized that this is not something that I'm meant to do. This is not something that I essentially wanted to do. So college happened, and then in the first year, I happened to be attending an award function back in Calcutta. Dad told me, "Yeah, you don't associate us yourself with us and with our functions. So come on, hop on, let's go to this award function." I'm like, "What am I supposed to do at an award function? I don't know any celebrity. I don't know anybody attending the event, and I'm not interested. Why do I sort of attend the function?" He's like, "Chalo, maza aayega, let's go." I'm like, "Okay."
So many layers of emotional blackmail under that.
Exactly. I was like, "Theek hai, SAP, I'm not doing anything productive, so why not go ahead and try out what his idea of fun is." So I'm like, okay, let's go. So I went on. Irrespective of however the award function turned out to be, I met somebody very important there, who's now my current co-founder, right? I met Mohit, who's now my co-founder at Career Kida, right? Mm-hmm. So he happened to be, in all these friend groups that we have, there's this one guy who's over enthusiastic about a lot of things, right? Who's very like, he was that guy. Right, he was pitching his $1 million idea to my dad, and he happened to be working under my dad for a couple of years. Mm. Right, so he had some kind of experience. I did not have any experience back then because I was 19, right, and I did not have any experience whatsoever. So I saw that he was pitching this idea to my dad, and he's like, "Ye kar sakte hain, wo kar sakte hain. There's this problem, there's this solution. Let's go ahead and launch this. Ye wo karte." And I happened to be standing there like a naive 19-year-old kid, understanding what he's trying to say, what he's pitching, how his sales look like, how his pitch look like. And I'm standing there. And after the so-called pitch happened, I walked up to him and told him, "Hey, man, great pitch. So are you riding solo in this venture or are you looking for a co-founder?" He's like, "I'm riding solo currently, but I'm looking for a co-founder." Mm. I was like, "Great, fantastic. Let's brainstorm." And he said, "Okay, let's do it." So in 2 months, 3 months, we brainstormed on the idea. And then we sort of launched our startup called Career Kida, right? So the idea was basically... This was back in 2015, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. So it's a six-year-old venture.
Yes, it's a six-year-old venture. Okay. So our main idea, major idea starting off was counseling in unconventional career choices. So for example, in every school, every college, there are a lot of counselors, there are a lot of workshops and seminars that happen, but not a lot of counseling happens in the unconventional career space. So for example, if you are a podcaster, if you're a YouTuber, right? Nobody tells you, if you want to become a podcaster, what's the career route to it, right? How do you learn? How do you start podcasting? How do you essentially focus on the equipment, focus on the lighting, focus on the audio, focus on the mic, so on and so forth. Nobody talks about that, right? There's just conventional career counseling out there. So if you want
doctor
to become
or engineer,
doctor or engineer, yeah, chartered accountant, wo mat bolo, because I sort of
my apologies. So there are kids who grow up in chartered accountancy families, there are kids who grow up in doctor engineer families. So they grow up with that option in their heads.
100%. Sympathies to you, sympathies to me.
To all of us, to everybody who's listening.
Doctors, engineers, future doctors, engineers, child accountant. This is not a podcast where we are trying to sort of pull you out from that profession. This is just us sharing our stories.
Our lived experiences, yes.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think that happened. And so then we started off with our venture, and the idea was to sort of provide counseling sessions in different schools and colleges across the country in terms of unconventional career choice. So like if you wanted to become an RJ, we'll get you an expert RJ, get that counseling done in schools and colleges and sort of earn a bit from what the business model was meant to be. This worked well in tier 2, tier 3 cities because we did a lot of workshops in tier 2, tier 3 cities, but this did not work in tier 1 cities. Why so? Because we failed to realize one very important factor, and that was almost all major schools and colleges in tier 1 cities already had counselors on a contractual basis. Right? So the entry was sort of made difficult. And I was like, yaar, tier 1 mein to ghusna because paisa wahan pe hai.
So you are targeting schools, or you were targeting schools or colleges?
So we were targeting schools, essentially schools. So primarily from say 9 to 12, classes 9 to 12, because that is the time when people essentially make decisions.
Yeah.
7, 8 is too young to essentially make career decisions because they themselves don't know what their next moment would look like. Although at 25, I'd say, I don't know what my next moment would look like, but that's a different story altogether. But yeah, I think that's
you
something.
You can be too young, but you're never too old for career counseling.
Absolutely. Well said.
Yeah, you want to use that line? It's yours.
I will. So yeah, I think that's absolutely how it turned out to be. So we did a lot of business in tier two, tier three cities in terms of doing a lot of counseling sessions, workshops, seminars. We made good money. But in tier one, it didn't work because in a sense, every school, every college already had sort of a counselor on a contractual basis. So we thought, and we realized that there's money in tier one. Because even if I don't get the numbers, I get limited numbers, but I get good money per student. In tier two, tier three, it's the exact opposite.
You're going for quantity.
Absolutely. So the amount comes down per person, you get quantity.
Right.
So that's exactly what happened. After 1.5 years, I think we made the pivot because that's what we had to do. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a sustainable model. So we then realized the gap between theory and practical, right? Because I was pursuing chartered accountancy back then, still pursuing alongside doing my focusing on my startup. And my partner was already a qualified company secretary. So he was sort of in this full time, right? We spotted this one very important gap wherein there was not a lot of focus on practical education and practical training, right? So when you're doing a course like that, in essence, not a lot of focus is given on practical knowledge or what essentially you're going to learn or do after getting that degree. Right. So what we thought ki kyun na ek ded mahine ka crash course sort of a banaya jaye jahan pe we'll provide them with the basics, not the advanced level. Advanced level to chodo, advanced level to he learn once he or she starts working.
Right.
Let's just focus on a giving direction now here we're strictly talking about CS aspirants. Right. So let's just focus on A, whether that person should take up a job or whether that person should practice. That's number one. Major roadblock for aspirants. People do not know whether they want to practice or whether they want to, do a 9-to-5 job.
So, okay. Here I have two questions. One is, what is the difference between these two?
Right.
And second is, isn't studying further also doubt in all these kids' minds?
Lovely. So lovely. So first question, what do you mean? What do I mean by these two? In essence, if you are a doctor, you're practicing. So you, I'm assuming you must have your own clinic.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what is in terms of CSES firm. So you have your own firm, you have your own clientele.
Right.
But so
do you start something on your own or do you work for somebody else as a 9-to-5?
Right. That's so as a practicing CA, as a practicing company secretary, do you start something of your own? So you practice that profession by yourself. You start you start your own firm. So it could be a partnership. It could be a proprietorship. It could be anything else. Right. But when I'm talking about doing a 9-to-5 job, so you essentially pick a division. So if you want to work in taxation, so you work as a tax associate, say at PwC or say at Deloitte or say at KPMG or whatever. Right. So that's the essence. That's the essential difference between the two, just like any other profession would do. Right. Second question in terms of if studying further would help. Now, here we're talking about the basics. Of course, you will have to study further. Right. Of course, you will have to keep on learning and upskilling yourself. That's not what we are targeting. What we are targeting is from the root cause. What the root cause is, right? We were focusing on recruitment and employment. We know that in India, unemployment is a serious issue. A few years back, I read an article where qualified engineers were applying for the role of a peon.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just sad. Right. So we were focusing on the employability aspect for the country. Right. And that's where we thought addressing the root cause of the issue would be the best way to start with. So the first thing was, whether students would want to sort of start practicing or whether they want to work a 9-to-5 job. That's the first thing, right? Second thing is, once you're done with your first level, second level exams, you sort of undergo a training, right? You undergo articleship. So you undergo management training, right? Yeah. There's a two-year, three-year period, depending on when you start your articleship.
Right.
So in that case, you have to appear for an interview. Now, interview cracking and CV making are two most tedious jobs and two jobs where a lot of people fail to crack jobs, right?
Because they've never been trained to do this. This is not an exercise that any of us have had to go through before.
So two things that came to mind for us. One is, if we help, if we sort of set up a course wherein we help them crack the interviews and make CVs, that'd be great. So we did that. Secondly, because they've already undergone this practical training course of ours that we sort of like a crash course that I was talking about. So they've undergone that course. They now are in a better position to understand how work is done. So say you are an employer, right? Dr. Sid is an employer. Deepak and, for example, my good friend Divyanshu, right? He, both of us are applying at Dr. Sid's vacancy, right? Just to give you a little context, Divyanshu and I know each other from the last 20 years, same school, same college. And the fact that we're just 25 speaks volumes of our bond.
Amazing.
So
amazing.
Same school for 14 years, same college, 3 years, then post-college, 4 years. So 2021, good years that we've known each other. And excellent. It's just good. And it's fantastic that we are working together in terms of, you know, I've also done a couple of workshops. So yeah, I think that's so I say, for example, Dr. Sid has one vacancy. Deepak and Divyanshu apply at your vacancy, right? Deepak has excellent theoretical marks, excellent theoretical knowledge, excellent academic marks, but no practical exposure whatsoever.
No work experience,
no practical exposure whatsoever, doesn't understand anything about what the job that he's applying at.
Right.
On the other hand, Divyanshu, being the smart guy he is, he's got that, he's got mediocre academic marks. He's not got a lot of high grades, but he's got like 60-70% marks throughout, which I'm assuming is too much considering college and everything. And on the other hand, he's got some sort of a practical exposure. So he understands how work is done. He understands what Dr. Sid's vacancy is about. He understands what Dr. Sid requires him to do in his vacancy.
He knows what the role expects him to do.
He knows, in essence, the kind of job that he's going to be doing. So he knows his role, basically.
Yeah.
Right. For any job that, for any person you hire, in essence, you or as a company, if any company hires, there's sort of a training period. Right? There's a 3 month, 6 month, 12 month training period that he or she undergoes. Right? Now, what if I tell you that that training period is not required? I give you a trained trainee.
Obviously, everybody would prefer that. So if they trust you.
Exactly. Yeah. So credibility comes into picture. Right. So who would you hire, Deepak or Divyanshu?
So the training period would be a big pain for me. So I would want somebody who would just slot in and start work from day one and I don't have to worry about it.
Right. So the obvious answer would be Divyanshu.
Yes.
Now speaking to a lot of CSES firms and knowing personally a lot of chartered accountants and company secretaries, because I come from the city of Calcutta and Calcutta is filled with chartered accountants and company secretaries. I happen to be knowing a lot of them personally, right? They tell me that the staff who works under them, so ideally servants or peons, they know much more than the freshers who apply at jobs. Why is that so? They will not know how to spell TDS. They will know they will not even know the full form of TDS. But they'll tell you that okay, TDS itna katega if this is your income.
Yeah.
Why is that so? Because that person is working with that CA or with that CS for a considerable amount of years. He knows kaun sa form lagega, kaun sa kaam lagega, kya hoga, nahi hoga, and everything. But he just can't get that job because he doesn't have the degree.
Yeah, this reminds me of hospitals. And some of the senior ward boys who have been in the hospital for the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
They can very well sit at the hospital as a doctor. And 90% of patients would go back and not know that they didn't just meet a doctor. Because they have a pretty good idea of how to manage fever, how to manage headache, these things that they've been seeing for the last 30 years. And our MBBS residency is 5 years.
Okay.
Imagine working in a hospital for 30 years. You will pick it up. It is the same brain. It's not that you are a separate person.
Absolutely. So I think that's absolutely very similar. So that happened. We made the pivot. So cutting the long story short, We made the pivot, and we sort of started providing practical. So we coined this term as profession-specific practical training. Right. So if you are a commerce student, we provide you practical training based on specific professions, similar to art, similar to other a lot more other courses. So we also had a lot of, and we also used to do a lot of seminars and workshops on the side as well to build good connections with schools and colleges going forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had a lot of seminars and workshops based on, say, personality development, leadership, communication skills, soft skills, public speaking, how to build a LinkedIn profile, how to build your strong social profile, and so on and so forth. And that helped us sort of get good client base.
Yeah.
I was the one who was taking a lot of workshops. My partner was taking a lot of workshops. We had somebody else coming in from our team. So some of our friends, we told them, okay, why not you come and take the workshop for us? Again, very, very, very frugal, but that's how startups are meant to be.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I think that's been the journey so far. And I think in 2018, I started creating content. So again, funny story with content. I did not know what to do. I knew I could not sing. I knew I could not dance. those two were out of question. My alternate career choice in a parallel universe would be becoming a stand-up comedian. Although I might, you know, ridiculously fail at it, but it's just, I'm very funny.
Why is it alternate? Why not here?
Alternate in the sense that I could try this. I mean, once I have a little bit of time on my plate, but then that's not something that I see myself doing full time. So I'd go with the alternate career choice on in a parallel universe. Go on.
It's being a stand-up comedian, I feel, is on the bucket list of a lot of kids in our generation, just as an experience. So for me, I look at it like skydiving. Do it once.
Oh, yeah.
Get it over with. You know it's going to be crazy. You know it's you will remember it. And then you don't have to do it as a profession, but ek baar to sabko karna hi chahiye.
Yeah, I think I really want to sort of go do an open mic. an open mic, because I've done an open mic in poetry and that's gone well. Like I won't say that's gone bad, but that's gone well. I did it in Canvas Literature Club in Gurgaon and that went off really well. But I really want to do a stand-up comedy open mic and I'd want to do a crowd interaction because I'm afraid I won't be able to write like a funny script. But I think if I interact and if I make fun of them, that sort of come off like, well, I don't know.
आप कहाँ से हो? अच्छा आप चार्टर्ड अकाउंटेंसी कर रहे हो? बस, you are sorted, your content is ready.
बस भैया मेरे को ready मिल गया, मैं कलकत्ता से हो, नहीं अच्छा life है आपका फिर मतलब. So so I think that's something that you know I obviously wanted to do, but ठीक है, I'm definitely gonna try once for sure. So yeah, I started creating content. I didn't know that, you know, I knew I couldn't dance. I knew I couldn't sing. So there had to be something more to it. So I came across this very interesting term called Mythbusters. And that was pretty interesting. And I thought that what better country or better location to be in than India? If I were to talk about Mythbusters or stereotypes or misconceptions or preconceived notions, and I was like, great, fantastic. I have my topic right there. Right. I'll strongly research about these topics. I'll make videos on it. And yes, I'm going to have 100K subscribers in the next 1 year and life's going to be good. Life's going to be jolly. Didn't happen, of course. Was very inconsistent when I started off with YouTube. Started posting snippets of it on Instagram. Got some traction. But then again, the algorithm as such was something that I couldn't get a lot of traction with. So I shifted and then COVID happened, right? So when COVID happened, you must have realized when you opened Instagram, almost every single person was live on Instagram. And I'm like, this is interesting. Every single person is doing live sessions. Why not go ahead and do it? And I was very scared of doing live sessions. I mean, I knew that, okay, I was creating content and I was in front of the camera all the time, but doing live sessions and handling live comments coming at me was something that I was not used to.
So on YouTube, you never went live?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So on YouTube,
that's an adventure sport by itself.
I'm sure. I'm definitely sure because I've seen a lot of YouTube live videos and I'm like, whoa, what is this? So I intend to do that. I'm going to go big on YouTube next year. But right now I'm focusing on three platforms essentially, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Instagram being something that has a lot more user base as compared to the other two platforms.
Right.
But I'm going to go big on YouTube next year. That's there on the pipeline next year. So yeah, I think when COVID happened, I started having live sessions, and I started reaching out to people. I started DMing people and I told them that, okay, hey, love your work. I'm starting these live sessions since we're all quarantined and I have nothing to do. I'm sure you also have some time and I'm sure you can take out 30 minutes of your time and talk to me and talk about this topic. And then of course, I will not take much of your time. Let's do this if this interests you. A lot of them were kind enough to agree to it.
Okay.
Right. And I started having these live sessions with a lot of influencers, a lot of creators, a lot of actors, actresses, celebrities as such. So which had a huge following. So I thought, why not leverage their following to sort of grow my understanding as well and grow my audience and my network as well. First learning, if you never ask, the answer is always a no. Right. So you have to go out there and ask people. ज्यादा से ज्यादा लोग ना बोल देंगे अभी भी आप वही पोजीशन पे हो सो व्हाट स्टॉपिंग यू फ्रॉम ट्राइंग
डिड यू एवर फेस अ पॉइंट वेयर यू थॉट दिस इज टू टीडियस और देयर आर आई एम नॉट एबल टू मैनेज द होल
शिट इट वाज ऑलवेज सो इट वाज ऑलवेज टीडियस इट वाज ऑलवेज टीडियस इट्स आई मीन नथिंग कम्स इजी यू कैन ऑब्वियसली यू नो डेलीगेट यू कैन ऑब्वियसली हायर अ टीम बट देन दैट ऑफ कोर्स कम्स विद इट्स प्रोज एंड कॉन्स
Yeah.
That of course comes with an added cost as well. Right. So doing everything, go on.
No. So with social media specifically, you are used to getting overworked at work. But the way that we are brought up for a lot of us, the mobile or social media is a place where we relax. We don't put pressure on ourselves. We are just there to have fun. Yeah. And at some point during this pivot in our personal lives, this becomes a job. Yeah. And then we find ourselves treating this as a job. And then we find ourselves bringing all our work characteristics, so to speak, home. Did you have that as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of difficult for me to sort of make that line between whether it's actually fun or whether it's actually work. But then again, when I took this full time and I took this very seriously, I was doing this live session, I remember, with a creator, and she told me, why not create reels? And that time TikTok had just been banned.
Right.
And I assumed, I had this notion ki TikTok pe nahi jana because TikTok for me was cringe content. No hate, no offense to anybody who was creating content TikTok, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. So it was cringe content for me. And I thought, nahin, yahan nahin, yahan nahin jayenge. And she told me, why not create content on reels? Because A, maza aa raha hai. And secondly, traction achha mil raha hai. So irrespective of the number of followers you have, you still might garner, say, millions of views.
Yeah.
Right. So why not go ahead and jump on it? I started creating memes. If you watch my reels, like shuru ke 5, 10, 15, 20 reels, you'll figure out that I did a lot of memes. So did a lot of funny content there as well. And that sort of clicked. I was at, I think, 1500 to 2000 followers that time. That sort of clicked. So some of my reels that time touched like 100k views, 200k views, and this is insane.
Right.
This is fantastic. The kind of growth that I'm getting is fantastic.
1 lakh people seeing a 15-second, 30-second content is incredible.
That time. So I got 30 seconds option here when I came to the UK in Jan. It was fantastic. Right. I mean, I started cribbing about it and I started making more content about it as to how I was not getting the 30 seconds to option. But yeah, I think that's been the journey so far. It's been fantastic. I started creating two reels a day. And I did that for like 4-5 months at a stretch.
Wow. So that is an insane level of content creation. Most people I've spoken to have told me that they were on one reel a day maximum. You're the first person who's told me two reels a day.
So I was two reels a day for I think 3 to 4 months, 5 months. I don't think I was there for like 5 months, but like 3 to 4 months. So for sure I was creating two reels a day. And then I thought ki yaar, ab workload thoda zyada ho raha hai. I wasn't able to manage a lot of stuff. So I then shifted to one reel a day and I still aim to post one reel a day. So now, of course, mixed with whatever branded content that comes along, I sort of make sure that one reel a day is something that I want to stick.
So here I'm going to take out for 2-3 minutes to just talk about content creation on Reels, because there will be people listening who might want to do the same thing.
Yes.
One is you have predefined your niche. You have an overall idea as to some of the things that you're going to talk about.
Yep.
Right. So one, do you create Reels together? Ek pura hafte ka, or is it day by day?
Bad shoot, of course. I mean, I mean, depends on the ideas as well as to, because I always feel that creativity is a process. Creativity does not happen, you know, it's not something that will strike one day or aaj, matlab, or har din strike karega, aisa nahi. One day your creative juices will flow and you just keep on getting ideas. Hmm. So I believe in bad shooting. When I sit, I record like 5, 6, 7 videos for the entire week. Yeah. And then I have like 7 days ka buffer to think about more videos.
Yeah.
And I'm sure 7 days mein to kuch na kuch idea aa hi jayega.
Mil jata hai.
So yeah. So for me, the answer is bad shooting. I always bad shoot. I sort of keep like a 7 to 10 day ka buffer so that I have 7 to 10 videos already shot.
Yeah.
And that gives me like a 7 to 10 day buffer to shoot more videos.
It's a matter of efficiency. It's a matter of factory lining the whole thing.
Yes.
So you have a preset, say a Canva profile or a Canva set of fonts or what other software to use. In short, I know that is popular. The other side of this is once you've shot it, how long does it take you to edit? Do you edit it yourself?
Okay, great. So firstly, the apps and software that I use, essentially all the common ones. So Canva pretty much does the job for all of us. So Canva is something that I use for all my graphics and all my posters and everything. Secondly, for video editing, I use both on the PC and also on the phone. So on the phone, if I'm if I want to quickly edit the videos, in short, VLLO, CapCut, a lot of softwares are there. So you can essentially use all the apps.
Right.
If there's a simple video edit wherein I do not have to put in a lot of my brains, I do it myself on Filmora. Because Filmora for me is pretty simple. Right. I tried cracking my brains into Adobe Premiere Pro. I couldn't. I gave up. I was like, no, aisa nahi hoga. That's also not my core competency. My core competency is creating and brainstorming. My core competency is not editing. Right.
Brilliant. So
I'd rather outsource that.
Yes.
Right. So
the earlier we realize is the better.
Absolutely. 100%. So I realized that there was one person who was shooting my videos. So there was one guy who was specifically shooting all my videos.
Yeah.
So even if it was poetry, even if it was social experiment, even if it was some kind of a travel vlog, I was myself, of course, shooting. But if I'm say, doing a cinematic shot or doing a cinematic video, I wanted to show something that's really beautiful, I cannot crack my brains into editing that video. So I already have an editor in place who does the job for me. Right. So with heavy edits, I outsource it to him. I'm like, tum kar de bhai, mere se nahi hoga. Mere bas ka baat heavy nahi. You take your time, you take the money for your effort.
Right.
I have no problems with that, but karke mere ko acha quality de do. He's like,
makes
done.
Makes sense.
But for me, I think simple edits, Reels, of course, I did it myself because that's something that does not require a lot of edits, not require a lot of heavy edits. Yeah. So I do it myself. If it's quick, if it's urgent, I do it like on the spot. So usually I edit. So whenever I'm recording, I complete the entire process. So I record, I edit, and I save it to my drafts.
Got it. On Instagram itself.
Absolutely. So if I'm editing, for example, my editing requires me to say put screenshots or put screen recordings or whatever.
Sab kuch dal ke rakh deta hai.
Sab kuch edit hoke final drafts mein save ho gaya reels ke.
Right.
Then I'll come and upload it. That's right. I have nothing to worry about. Calendar mein sab kuch saved hai ki is din ye reel jana hai. I'm gonna go and upload it. That's it. It's as simple as that. Ekdam streamlined.
Beautiful. The reason that I'm talking about this so much is because it started off as something that is, chalo karna hai to karo. But for more and more people listening to this, it is going to become a way of life. It is going to become a source of earning.
Absolutely. So
that brings me to the next question. Part of Career Kida.
Right.
Do you have a talk on social media? Do you have a section on how to navigate this whole space that we are in?
We will be, I'm sure, a great question though. We are, so when pandemic hit us, of course, before pre-pandemic, we were only focusing, we were only physical. We were only working out of a physical setup.
Right.
But when the pandemic happened, we sort of started building our own online presence and started creating, we're working on this project that took a while for us to sort of, we were figuring out internally a lot of things. But I'm sure we're building that, and the website should be ready in like a couple of months. So we'll be launching a lot of courses, a lot of crash course based courses on a lot of professions and a lot of areas and domains. So I'm sure social media is something that's going to be there. Social media is of course very broad. We're going to narrow it down, streamline it. So for example, how to go on Instagram Reels could be one course.
Yeah,
and so on and so forth.
We can create undergraduate, postgraduate, PhD level course structures.
100%. I'm going to hit you up to do a lot of courses. So don't be surprised if you receive an email.
Yeah. If you can even take this social media concept there, right? You can have a undergraduate in social media, master's in YouTube.
Absolutely.
And I've done my PhD in YouTube Shorts.
Sounds great. We'll definitely.
I would sign up for that.
Definitely do something like this for sure. That's happening.
So in this whole journey of career, Kida.
Right.
Right now, it's already 6 years in.
Right.
But I recently read somewhere that one of the key things about a startup is that you always feel like it's day one.
Right.
Do you have that feeling that we are just getting started?
So again, absolutely bang on with what you heard. I think in terms of us doing business, in terms of us learning and building a team and setting the right culture at our company, I think it's something that we've all believed in always.
Yeah.
Secondly, we've got two domains working in. So there's one side of things that's happening. There's other side of things. There are two businesses running parallelly with Karekida as well. I'm not going into the details of it,
sure. But
the point being that, we've always believed as a team that this is what the vision is. This is what the vision is for Karekida, right? Every single day. And I'm sure every entrepreneur out there who's listening to this podcast will relate to it. That an entrepreneur is firefighting every single day. Right. Mm-hmm. You come across one set of problems on one day. The next day, your problem might be solved the very moment. And the next day, you might, figure out an even larger problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What are you going to do about that? But you have to believe in yourself. That's number one. It sounds as cliche as possible. I don't care. But you got to believe in yourself.
It's cliche for a reason, man.
It's cliche for a reason. Absolutely. I mean, I don't care if it sounds cliche. It is what it is. You got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Secondly, you got to believe in the team that's working for you. Right. And thirdly, you got to believe in the process. Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to believe in the process. Things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you always notice that something that if you put your head into something and work, shiddat is one word that I absolutely love. Right.
Resilience.
I think the universe conspires in helping
damn. You. Yeah. There are moments in any journey where all logic tells you to stop.
Yes.
To give up.
So good. Yeah.
And you need to just say fuck you to logic and just do it anyway and just keep going because there is no other way to get around it.
I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think both in terms of my entrepreneurial stint with Karekida and me working content, doing content creation, I'd say both are in essence two startups. So I take content as my startup itself. I do not, discriminate in terms of whether, okay, content is different, startup is different. My content is my own startup, right? It's my personal brand. I'm working on Deepak, that's for sure. Like Deepak now versus Deepak in 10 years, I got to scale up.
Yeah.
Right. Immense amount of things happening with respect to content, right?
Mm.
The content space right now is just booming.
Yeah.
Right. Recently heard the news of NAS Daily raising 11 million pre-seed.
Yeah.
Pre-seed. Not a joke.
Yeah.
One single person. Raising 11 million is just fantastic.
What does that even mean? people are investing in his content, essentially.
Absolutely. People are investing in him. Leave content. Leave content. Content is secondary. Content will come from you. Content will come from your passion towards driving things. People invest in you. That is something people invest in. If you were sitting on that Shark Tank judge panel and invest in products, you will essentially obviously look at the product, look at the future scope of it, look at the PMF, look at every single thing possible. But you will invest in the person, you will invest in the person's drive towards making that happen.
Brilliant.
Right?
Yeah.
So 11 million pre-seed on one single individual is not a joke.
Yeah. Because you're not looking at his bio. Yeah.
If you look at his bio, it says 40 million friends on social, zero in real life. It's just fantastic. Man, I love it. I love that guy.
You know what? Dude, there is a lot of talk on empathy and about kindness, right? We have to be very kind to each other and all of that. We have to be kind to ourselves.
Yeah. Just hold on. I'll just take 1 minute.
No worries, no worries.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries.
Empathy, kindness.
Yeah, I was talking about how there is a lot of focus on being kind to each other, being kind to yourself. Hugely important movement.
Right.
But we have to remember that there are moments when you have to be tough with yourself.
Right.
Tough, hard on yourself. And the reason is that we have to think of ourselves as startups.
Yes.
And once you start doing that, once you start seeing yourself as a startup, as a brand, it doesn't matter how many friends you have on Instagram. It doesn't matter if you have a verified tick yet.
Absolutely.
The point is the mentality. Can you develop that kind of mentality to think of yourself as how the world views you and see yourself as a product? There are pros and cons to this.
Right.
The pros being that you will start developing yourself, that you will start thinking about yourself in a creative sense.
Right.
The con being that you might lose your identity in that whole space.
Yes.
Who am I outside of the social world?
No, well framed. Yes.
How do you navigate this?
For sure. Lovely. So I think that's very similar to when you spoke about numbers or metrics or the blue tick, the verified blue tick. I remember this one thing, one statement where Kunal Shah made, and he said, you know, it's just about status versus wealth. Why are we focusing on blue tick accounts, and why are we not focusing on the work that we do? How does it matter? Yeah. I mean, a blue tick is just a blue tick. That's just there in the mind. What are you going to do about it? Right. So verified or no, are you credible? Right? Does the audience respect you? That's the only thing you want out of it. Right? Verification, jab hona hoga, ho jayega, that doesn't even matter. Theek hai? But what I'm trying to say is it's sometimes essential to be hard on yourselves. Right? And there has to be a fine balance. Right? You always cannot be hard on yourself. Right? You're a neurologist. You'd understand this way better than any of us, right? It's good to be hard on yourself at times, to push yourself beyond your limits, to come out of your comfort zone, try 10 different things, fail at 8 of them, have the courage to double down on the 2 of them that worked. But at the same time, there has to be a fine balance. There has to be a balance where, in essence, you go ahead and see that you do not overwork yourself. Take a break.
Yeah.
We don't normalize this, right?
Correct.
When we talk about taking a break, you're like, "Arey yaar, break kyun lena hai? Why do you have to take a break? What is this?" Right? I think a few months back, 2-3 months back, I took a 5-day Instagram detox. right? Mm. And it was the first time I took a break from Instagram, the first time ever. And it felt so good. I literally signed off and deleted the app.
That's the only way. Because half the time you'll find it yourself opening it without realizing that you've opened it.
Exactly. It's just instinct. Wo samne dikh raha hai to bas khol diya. Right? So I didn't want that. So I was like, chuck it. I don't want to do it.
Hmm.
Just open the app. Just sign off. Delete the app from the phone. Wo journey khatam. Hatai do. So wo hata diya. And for the next 5 days, I sort of realized that I took a break.
Hmm.
I was sort of introspecting what I had gotten into, where I want to get to.
Mm.
Right. And I was at peace. I was not thinking about content at all. The only piece of content I made was during the 5 days when I talked about how I felt about sort of
the break.
Yeah, that's the only piece of content I made after that. But then after that, it was just fantastic. I came back with the fresh air. I came back with creating good content again. So I think there needs to be a fine balance. You will have to push yourself beyond your comfort zone, but then you will also need to realize that all of what you are doing is dependent on this.
Yeah.
If this goes beyond a point, you got to take a break.
Yeah. People don't understand that. It's not a linear thing. Growth is not a linear thing.
Love this.
And the best example that I give is in terms of bodybuilding.
Yeah.
There, everybody understands. But somehow, it is instinctively ingrained in us that, of course, if you work out in the gym, you need to take a break for a day. You can't work out for 24 hours, 24/7, 365. You can't just be pumping iron. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
So the break is not actually a break. The break is part of the growth.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And somehow when you do it at work, we think this is just wrong. And this is absolutely capitalism at play.
Oh, yes.
The reason that we don't think break is part of work is that, hey, that's not really efficient, right? You're not really producing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Makes so much sense. Yeah, makes so much sense. Absolutely. Love this one. Love this. And I think it's something that we need to talk about more openly. It's okay that if you take a break, right? It's okay to enjoy your work, firstly.
Yeah.
When you're enjoying, a lot of people believe they are ye kaam thodi kar raha hai. Ye iska kaam hai. Is this your full-time work? Is this what you do full-time? And make money out of it. Are you fucking kidding me? So this is something you got to realize. This is something that you have to essentially normalize.
It's facing yourself.
On network.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can be serious. You can be serious on Instagram, on YouTube. Full points to you.
Mm.
But you can also have fun while being serious.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that people need to realize.
One of the tricks that the brain plays on you is it makes you think that it's now or never. Mm-hmm. You are the best possible version you could ever be right now, or you're the worst possible version you could ever be.
Right.
We find it very difficult to pace ourselves because we find it difficult to calculate that I am only 30% good now, but that doesn't mean that this is as good as I will ever get.
Right, right.
Because we only have the capacity to think of time in a bubble way, like a bubble.
Right.
So time is very important around us right now. But do saal ke baad, if I'm very, very good, I can't derive pleasure out of that.
Right. Right. Makes complete sense. Yeah.
So that's the problem, that we want to be the best at all times. And the pain of getting there is not calculated.
I think process se related hai bahut kuch.
Matlab, exactly like you said, right?
Yeah, matlab, I think if you don't enjoy the process, if you want to become an author, but you don't enjoy the process of writing, then that's something that becoming an author is like a far-fetched dream for you.
Right.
Right. If you want to become a content creator, you don't enjoy the process of brainstorming, or you don't enjoy the process of maybe creating or editing, and if editing or, you know, spending time on the shoots seems like a tedious work to do, then in essence, or if you want to become a cricketer and you don't enjoy net practice, I mean, that's something that
beautiful.
You have to enjoy the process of it. That's something that's, and I think I've taken this line from the great Indian captain MS Dhoni. And he said, I think in one of the team meetings, or I think there was this one video that I had watched, that when he was the captain, he used to say the most basic things out loud to the team. And somebody pointed out to the captain and said that, hey, it is so basic. Why are you even saying it? He said, it might be basic to you. But you have to say it out loud for everybody to understand. Right? Yeah. So you got to enjoy the process of it. He said, if you're not enjoying the process of things, then you will not enjoy the outcome.
Yeah.
It's the journey to the destination that makes the destination worth it.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. Like if suddenly tomorrow morning you wake up with a six pack, I'm not sure you would enjoy it as much because
I definitely would.
Yeah. All right. That's not a good example.
Six pack, maybe I would.
But no. You would enjoy it, but you wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Oh yeah. As much for sure.
As you would have, if you would have felt each day, each crunch.
Yeah.
And that 6 months of dieting and you feel your body weight going down, you feel your body fat percentage going down. Yeah.
Like you feel like you've earned it.
Right. You feel like it's yours.
Yeah, it's mine and I've put in the effort to, sort of reach there and I've earned it myself and I've done it for myself. And that's something that I've achieved. So it's not ki haan re ek din utha mil gaya. Nahin.
Right.
I have done it. I've earned it for myself.
Ooh. And this brings us to such an interesting point because we're talking of identity.
Right.
Do I want to be the person driving a Mercedes? In which case I can just steal a Mercedes and drive it around.
Right.
Or do I want to be the person who can afford a Mercedes?
Right. Oh, lovely.
That's the difference, right? Like, what do I want?
Yeah.
Do I just want that Instagram picture of me in front of a Mercedes or do I want to be the person who can afford it?
I think the longer shot to this point is what is essentially the purpose of life. And I've always tried to figure out.
I love how you went there.
I mean, it's just how it is.
It is how it is. Yeah.
Because once you say that, do I want to be in a position where I can afford a Mercedes? Or do I want to be in a position where I can essentially drive a Mercedes or even steal a Mercedes and drive it around?
Yeah.
Right. So my larger thought process, and I always think about it. What's my larger thought process is what in essence is the purpose of your life?
Yeah.
Right? There is so much to life than just work and play. Right? There is relationships, right? There is not just relationships in terms of only with your partner. It is relationship with your friends. It is relationship with your team members. It is relationship with your family, with your relatives. There is so much more to it.
Yeah.
Right? What is in essence is your purpose of life?
Mm-hmm.
How does one figure that out? Why am I in this world and for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to achieve something, then privilege comes into picture.
Yeah.
If you are privileged enough to do it or not. If you do not have the privilege, you have to do it because you have to do it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I don't want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't choose this life. So, I mean, there are larger questions, there are larger thought processes, there are larger ideologies behind it. But it's just one question that I can never get an answer to.
Very recently, I think yesterday, I was reading about, I was reading a tweet. I think Paras Chopra had tweeted it about how the answer to any existential question will come from what field are we looking, what lens are we looking at the question from? So for example, was Varun Maya. Sorry. This was on Varun Maya's recent blog. Okay. So the question that he gave was, I'm going to Subway and eating a sandwich.
Right.
Why did I do that?
Okay.
Now the purpose of that action, the answer to it will depend on, am I looking at it as a Oh, yes. The lens. Am I looking at it? Yeah, as a marketer.
Yeah, lovely.
Right?
Lovely.
Am I looking at it as a neuroscientist? In which case, I'll say it's because of the neurotransmitters in your brain and the hormones. Yeah. Am I looking at it as an evolutionary psychologist? In which case, I will say that you have inherent genetic drives to keep feeding. Or am I looking at it through the eyes of a cosmologist or a physicist? In which case, I'll say it's entropy.
Oh, lovely.
You
lovely.
Need Absolutely. To... Right? And that was a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
So when you say purpose of life, you have to also specify through which lens.
Lens. Yes. Got it. Okay. So I think the way I look at it is in terms of work.
Mm.
So what am I meant to do in life? What is the purpose of it? So, for example, if I say that I want to become a content creator, for example, right? So, I don't know where I want to get to, for example, right? How do I decide that? What is the metric after which I'll say, okay, I'm going to stop now, right? Or what is that metric after which I'll say, ki yaar, nahi, maza nahi aa raha hai, kuch aur karte hain. Kuch aur karne ka need. क्यों अराइज हो रहा है? Why is there a need to do something? Is it just existing? Is it because अगर जिंदा है तो काम कर ही लेते? Is it that? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, these are just larger thought processes that just in my head where I don't think I'll get answers to. But again, great thought behind, you know, looking at which lens. I mean, which lens are you looking at from? That provides great perspective.
One thing I recently realized was, and it's kind of the Lindy effect, wherein if you're looking at a problem that has existed, the longer a problem has existed, the more likely it is that the solution has also been under question for a long time. So this question of why are we here? It's probably one of the oldest questions that humanity has faced. Ever since animals became self-cognizant, ever since monkeys became self-cognizant, which is human beings, we have wondered why. Because that is what evolution did, right? Animals don't really wonder because their prefrontal cortexes are not designed to wonder. We have that capacity. Right. That is why this problem is there. Otherwise, we don't have that issue.
Yeah.
And so I believe that for answering such an ancient question, there is really no harm in turning towards ancient discussions.
Okay.
So the words might be different, but one of the things that the Bhagavad Gita talks about is dharma.
Right.
And the concept of dharma being, what is it that you are supposed to do?
Right.
What is it that you're meant to do? Mm-hmm. And earlier that dharma is decided by your caste, where you're born.
Right.
And that is just a social happenstance.
Social construct, yeah.
Social construct. But as we kept going forward, dharma remains the same. But who decides that dharma keeps on changing?
Yeah.
And now that dharma is completely on you. Nobody else gets to decide what your dharma is. But the problem is that once you decide, then all the rules apply that was applying in Bhagavad Gita. All of it applies, except that now nobody else gets to decide that.
Right.
In a way, it is quite liberating.
Yeah.
Like if you've decided that your dharma is being a content creator.
Right.
And that is it.
Right.
Now you can stop questioning it.
Right.
You just have to do your dharma. Right. And then jo hoga, hoga.
Right. Lovely. Great perspective, yaar. Great perspective. I love this. I think the more backwards we go, the more answers we get. So
for some questions. Yeah.
For some, yeah. I think the more backwards we go in terms of, okay, this answer is something that I'm looking for. And this is what I want to get to. This is how I can get to it. Right. Yeah. So फॉर सम क्वेश्चंस फॉर श्योर, जितना पीछे जाओगे, जितना रीड करोगे, जितना और यू नो यू विल गेट लाइक एक्सपोज टू स्टफ, उतना यू विल अंडरस्टैंड इट इवन मोर. सो I think great perspective, yeah, great perspective.
Just different perspectives, because I feel that now we are quite caught up in this world of reflections. Everything is reflected, all social media is reflected opinions. So we are ending up basically parroting each other quite a bit.
Media, social media, I think, is a funny space to be in, wherein you have an image on social media, but when you meet that person in real life, that image might be completely different, right? And that person might come off as a completely different person.
Yeah,
and you'd be surprised to meet that version of that person, because you'd be like, "Arey, Deepak to aisa baat karta hai, aisa hai, waisa hai, reels mein, but real life is a completely different person."
That's what podcasts are for.
That is what podcasts are for. Absolutely, where you essentially get to that person's head. Ki yaar, batao. What is behind your brain? What is behind your head? Kya hai jo tumhare dimag mein aisa chalta hai? How do you do it? Why do you do it? Where do you want to get to? How did you start? And so on and so forth. So I think social media bahut funny hai. Matlab, I think I've been long enough in this space to say that it's been more than 3 years that I've been in this space, and I've realized that it's a funny space. People will hate on you for something. People will love you for something. And that's just how it is. Thoda funny hai, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's very crazy, because we thrive on love, but we give more importance to hate.
I think it's something that is ingrained in our brains.
Yeah. It's a neuroscientific thing.
Wo fault jahan pe hota na, that is where our brain goes to. Yeah. 99 people will tell you I love you.
Yeah.
But then 1% will tell you I hate you. You'll focus on that. Why will that 1% hate me? Why does that 1% hate me? Is this striving towards perfection? Is this why that happens? Or is this...
It's something even more primal. It's striving towards security.
Oh.
Because
could you elaborate a little?
That one person who's saying that he hates you is a cause of threat.
Sure.
So
is he insecure?
It's not. So insecurity is still a more evolved thought process.
Okay.
But if you think about being in a cage with 100 tigers and 99 tigers are eating out of your hand, but one tiger is looking at you and growling.
Yeah.
Your attention is likely to be on that one tiger.
Absolutely.
Because it could jump and kill you.
Yeah,
so
makes sense.
Your brain thinks that hate comments are more important. It literally gives more weight to hate comments, which is unfortunate.
Go on.
I mean, the unfortunate part is that people end up using hate comments to get your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is just attention-seeking, quote-unquote, drama that happens, where in a sense that person is, and I've actually, you know, delved a little deep into this, and I've thought about it, and I've seen that hate comments usually come from a profile where the profile has a weird follower ratio. So they'll not have like more than 5 followers. They'll follow 5,000 people. There'll be a very weird DP, of course, and there'll be a very weird username filled with underscores and full stops.
Right.
It just goes on to show that the person, in a sense, is using a fake account to sort of hate on you. So that person is so insecure. I gotta feel bad for that person. I mean, I don't know who that person is, but that person is really insecure in life.
Yeah.
So that is something that I've always thought about, and that I'd love to know your process of how you deal with hate. But if you get any, which I'm sure there is, I mean, not just hate on social, but hate in personal life as well. How you deal with hate is something that I'd love to know from you as well. But my response to hate depends on the mood I'm in on that day. So if I'm in a very good mood, I'll give it back to that person with humor or sarcasm or wit. But if I myself am not in a good mood, I'd rather ignore it. But if I feel that, okay, this is really irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really not required. Why does he or she have to say that? I'll give it back to that person. I don't care if that person remains a follower or not. But mm-hmm. I'm not here to listen to your crap. Mm-hmm. Firstly, I got to clarify. If I am wrong, I will clarify that. But if I am not wrong,
yeah,
then to hell with you. I mean, that's just my thought process behind dealing with hate. Because I'm not going to listen to you and to your nonsense and to your weird opinion on yeah, that video of mine. You might have your opinion. Internet is a free forum. You're free to upload and post anything.
Yeah.
But so do I.
And so you have the and you have the right to moderate because it's your field.
Yes. 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 So I completely restrict. So I restrict the profile from posting.
Yeah.
So he or she comments, only I see it. Nobody else gets to see it. Yeah. And the best part, he doesn't know if I've restricted it. He's sort of happy. Yaar, yaar, hate kar diya, aaj maza aa gaya. But that's completely in vain because he doesn't know if he's been restricted.
So the way I do it is on social media, it's if that person is an anonymous account, I generally don't think twice about it. For me, anonymous accounts don't deserve energy spent on them.
Right.
Because it's a zero sum game. I'm not getting anything out of it. They have no credibility. So that means they have no accountability.
Yeah.
And so I'm never going to learn anything from this conversation.
Yeah.
So whatever energy I spend is just throwing it down the toilet. So zero time spent on any anonymous account. And just as a rule of thumb.
Yeah. How do you, great. How do you deal with people talking ill behind your back?
And how would I know about it?
You would know from maybe common sources.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, he or she is talking, wo to ye bol raha tha ki Sid to aisa hai.
Ya
Sid ke life ye chal raha hai, ya Sid to itna bekar aadmi hai. You get to know from that, from maybe a common source or a common, a mutual.
Yeah. So this is more likely to happen in real life.
Real life. I'm talking about real life.
Yeah. So it has happened a couple of times. I think once you're in the social arena and you're interacting with hundreds of people, all these interactions will happen. All these different permutations and combinations will happen. There will be misunderstandings. And it's like Chinese whispers, right? Like you say something, somebody else says something. And then by the time the fifth person hears it, like how could Siddharth say this? This is so wrong.
Correct. Absolutely.
So, one thing I've realized is that people feel good. There is a tendency to bring someone down.
Is it okay? I'll stop you there. Is it universal? I'm sure it's not.
The instinct is
okay, great.
But many people have grown beyond it.
Yeah, got it.
Because it is a very easy way of feeling good, right?
Dopamine.
It's dopamine. Yeah. So for that one moment, you are better than them.
Yeah.
And without having to do anything.
Yeah.
Just by saying that that person is bad, it is almost an assumption that, that must mean that I am good. And so, and not just good, I am better. And the whole dopamine network is so that you can be better.
If A is bad, doesn't mean B is good. Or if A is good, doesn't mean B is bad.
Yeah. So
again, incomplete theory.
If I finish the podcast, right, and I go and tell someone that, I was speaking to Deepak. It doesn't mean anything, but for that one moment, I'm feeling better. But if I say that, man, he talks so well, I have to be very secure in myself to not imply that must mean I'm a bad speaker.
Yeah. Wow. This looks like a very simple conversation that we've had right now, but this means so much in the real world out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you actually think a little deeper into what we've spoken about right now,
yeah,
it it means so much more in the real world out there.
It is.
Like it applies so much more in the real world out there. It applies so much more in the real world out there. I think that's just phenomenal. If people understand this, that okay, if Sid speaks to me, if Sid is a good speaker, doesn't mean that I'm pulling myself down. Doesn't mean that okay, I'm a bad speaker. No, I have to get to that Sid's level, I have to cross Sid's level, I have to reach to the Vyanshu, I have to reach to Raj, I have to reach to Varun. Nahin, aisa nahin hai.
Right.
You will get there. You will get whatever wherever you have to get to.
Yeah.
But once you start comparing, once you start realizing, okay, yaar, ye mere se better hai, ye mere se peech hai, that's just in your head in terms of the metric that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Metric could be different, right? And I, funnily enough, don't understand why people compare or on what basis people compare. Because people don't know the backstory. People don't know what I have gone through to start creating content. It could be something very personal, something very internal that I've started. Right, there could be a more serious agenda to what I've, to why I've started. Right, so why people judge is out of my comprehension because they don't know our story.
So this actually goes takes us all the way back to the verified tick mark.
Oh yes.
Okay. Why is that important? There is a line in neuroscience that the brain is a cognitive miser.
Okay.
What that means is that we have evolved to use our cognitive skills in as efficient a way as possible. So if you spot a pattern that is supposed to indicate a set of values or a set of references or inferences rather, then you will see it once and you will see the inferences. You'll see it twice and you'll see the inferences. So the next time that you see that pattern, you will just assume those inferences are there. You don't need to see it again.
Okay, got it.
So you see somebody driving a Mercedes and having a large bungalow two times. Yeah. The third time you see a Mercedes, you'll assume that this guy owns a bungalow. Because that's what cognitive miser means. I don't have to keep on verifying. I don't have to keep on checking. It is done. I have made that connection. I'm not going to work every time.
Wow. I think I need to sit with you, talk about this topic for like, and I don't know, maybe days, weeks, months to get
Let's
to know.
Let's do it, man. I'll be in London sometime the beginning of next year. We'll definitely catch up.
Lovely, for sure. That's good news. I'll be right there. I'm gonna come back next year first half. So I'm definitely I'll be in Mumbai.
Oh, so we'll that would be awesome.
Definitely catch up. Definitely, no second thoughts about it.
Brilliant, dude. I have a lot of things to ask, but I think I'm just feeling very relaxed and chill right now.
Yeah, because I think that's the whole essence of a podcast, right? You prepare some questions, you've got okay, so you've seen that person's work on social, you've known how he or she is, but then you prepared your questions accordingly. You get to know, you want to know more about that person. But then I love it when conversation flows. It just flows. I mean, you do not have to put in effort. You must have thought of a structure before starting this podcast.
Yep.
But that's gone all haywire and all for good reasons.
Yeah. It went like 40 minutes back. It went.
Yeah. And I'm like, arre yaar, maza aa raha hai. I see that you must have like a lot more questions to ask. And I want to pick your brains. It's like me acting as a host. And it's like Dr. Sid on Deepak's podcast.
We are no, but we are just 2 minutes away from me just saying, aur bata, kya chal raha hai. That's the vibe.
Or some badiya life, some badiya chal raha. It's everything's good. But yeah,
beautiful.
Something. I mean, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Spend more time. Get to know. Pick your brain. 100%. As to how the brain functions, how the brain operates, how people think, more cognitively, and you know, how in a sense people react to certain situations. And I think that's something that I'm sure once we sit together and talk about more, I think that's when we realize. And I think that's the power of, you know, spending time with like-minded people, right? You don't realize when time passes by.
Yeah.
I see on my timer on the top right saying it's already been 1 hour, 17 minutes and the clock takes 30 seconds, 31 seconds, 32 seconds. And I'm like, chuck it. Let's go on. What's up? Kya halchal, mere bhai? I think I know you for a very long time.
Beautiful. I love it, man. I feel the same. It's the pressure in a conversation goes on decreasing.
So comfort hoga na. So once you're made comfortable, once you share, I think once you share some kind of ideologies and once you derive value from the person you're speaking to, I think you are more and more, you get more and more curious.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, this is how it happens. Great. Fantastic. How does this happen? How does that happen? So I think curiosity is one thing that, again, Kunal Shah talks a lot about very openly. And I think Kunal Shah's account, I talk about Kunal Shah because I follow him in terms of his, a lot of his speeches, a lot of how, what his thought process is, what his ideology is.
And I
find it very funny that his Instagram is more of a meme account than actually anything to do with entrepreneurship and what he's doing.
His Twitter account is more, I think, his a little Twitter bit more of his...
His LinkedIn, I'd say, is more sort of business, mind, brain, entrepreneurship, so on and so forth, cultures, perspectives, and so on. But his Instagram is just fun. It's just if you watch his stories, he just continuously he's sharing memes on his story. Nothing but memes. I love that guy.
I've had a couple of moments where I've shared a neuroscience meme and he's messaged me like, okay, I'm going to reshare this. I said, go ahead.
I think one more aspect.
I've had him on. So, I mean, the reason that I know him is because I've had him on for the podcast.
Oh, lovely. And
he was actually the second guest on my podcast.
I think I missed out on that. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah,
is it up on YouTube?
Yes, it is.
I will watch it. Also, I think one more thing that, I don't know, I've realized that a lot of successful, I don't know, again, success is very subjective. But it's just what meets the eye. Yeah. So I think a lot of successful people who build successful ventures, I think they sort of have to stay aloof from their families. I mean, I don't know if that's true, if that's how it's been with a lot of people. But if you come to, it's true for the Western country, irrespective of entrepreneurship, because once you're 15, 16, your parents are like, no, get out, COC. I'm in the UK right now. I was working part-time for a month. And this is something that I realized. A lot of people here start working very early on in their life. Right? It's not just part-time, it's full-time. So the person is 16, 17. The person is working like 40 hours a week. I'm like, that's insane. That's insane.
But that's also a crazy experience, right? Like, because all your decision making in your important years, which is 17, 18, 19, 20, gets 100%. Colored because of that life experience that you have.
Absolutely.
And that is one of the issues that I think Indian students face, that we have it so cleanly divided ki tum 24, 25 tak tum padhai kar rahe ho. So you have a student mindset. You have a working mindset. You don't understand that most of the important learning happens after you start working.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the Indian mindset is more education mindset. And the Western mindset is more of experience mindset. So you'll find a lot of, so I think, US may it's more related to, I think, working, you know, getting a lot of experience out there, trying out 10 different stuff. UK mein yahan pe no distinction between the kind of work that one does. Even if you're a waiter or even if you're driving a bus, no distinction whatsoever. Hi sir, hello ma'am, thank you so much, cheers. That's the culture that's here. 9 to 5 matlab 9 to 5. Na ek ghanta pehle, na ek ghanta baad. It's pretty straightforward, right? Weekends band, matlab weekends band. Wo subah 8 baje daru peene chalu karega. Wo hai, wo culture hai. You cannot do anything about it.
In India ka kya hai na, wo gurukul system hai.
Yeah.
That mindset is that jab tak bachcha bada nahi hota, his entire life is dedicated to education. It is ingrained in us.
It's always, I think, it's convention. So you're born. So it again, the way you mentioned earlier, it just boils down to the kind of family you're born into, or the kind of thoughts you're given from a very young age. So wo thought process dheere build up hoke ek sort of wo pura bubble ban jata hai ki yaar okay ab ye bubble bahut ab ye phatne wala hai. Right, so once you are, say you are in class 10, you're in class 12, you figure out your career, then uske baad commerce ke baad bcom ke baad cs cfa cs whatever uske baad ya to business ya to khud ka dhanda. My point is, there's not a lot of innovation and creativity that people think about, that people focus on. Ki yaar, ye set pattern to hai. Ye set pattern to sabhi kar rahe hai.
Correct.
What if I want to do something different? A, do I have the resources to do that? B, do I really want to do it? C, do I have the courage to try out?
Yeah.
Right? These are certain things. I mean, you could go on and on wherein you say ki privilege ka matter hai. Oh, you have the money so you can do it. Bullshit. You have 24 hours to do it, right? Theek hai?
Yeah.
Matlab, paisa, of course, is an added bonus, an added incentive, an added advantage to it.
But yeah.
I don't think it's, I mean, privilege hai, of course, it's privilege, right?
So but privilege is a variable that you can add to any equation, every equation.
Yeah.
At every level, there is privilege. And at every level, you consider that privilege and then you see if you can match the two.
Absolutely.
Two sides of the equation.
Your choices depend on the privilege you have.
Correct.
Yeah, aap ek baat samjho. You decide you want to study abroad, for example.
Mm.
Right? If whether you're able to or whether you're not able to, irrespective of the decision you make, it's basis privilege. Theek hai? Agar maan lo mere ko, I want to live in a tier one top city like Bombay. Now, Bombay mein main Govandi mein rahu, Bombay mein Kurla mein rahu, Bombay mein main worldly ceiling ke paas rahu, ya Bombay mein main Karad mein rahu. I don't know. I mean, is because it the, privilege?
Yeah, the counter argument is there are people from every level of privilege who have both succeeded and failed.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yes.
So that is the reason why privilege cannot explain away everything.
Yeah.
It's not just privilege. There is also mindset. There is also other things.
100%. Yaar, matlab classic example. I don't know. I don't have an example, like a point blank example here. But the point that I'm trying to make here is you might be the son or daughter of the richest man of the world. In that case, you've got the privileges in place.
Correct.
I'm assuming you've got all the resources in place. You've got the best house. You've got the best phone. You've got the best internet service available. You've got the best car. Yeah. Everything on spot. That means that you've got the privilege. So his son or daughter should ideally surpass the father or the mother. Because as and when generations keep on getting bigger.
It has to grow.
It has to grow. Trajectory hai, inflation. ठीक है पहले 10 रुपए का था अब 100 रुपए का है inflation वो आगे बढ़ेगा ही बढ़ेगा right it's not the case is it the case that the sons or daughters of the richest person or the rich people's sons and daughters are richer than the parents have you seen that
no it's not
just about the privilege it is about the mindset how you make what you make of it.
Yeah, there is a saying in French aristocracy that the lineage of any royal family or their fortunes of any royal family has a three generations up, three generations down trajectory.
Okay.
So somebody will start off with poverty and or maybe just as a lower nobleman ka level pe. And it'll take them three generations to rise up the ranks and become one of the prominent noble houses of the country. And then three generations later, they will be down in the dumps again.
Okay.
And this has been noticed several times. This three generations up, three generations.
Three generations is something that I'm hearing a little differently. I think probably this is the right one because I heard it's alternate. Matlab, if your parent is sort of rich and smart, you will somehow go the drains.
Downway. So that also depends on where, at what level you are seeing, because it's also about comparing. So if you can see other people on so-called in the social hierarchy above you, then you will grow up with that thing of, I want to be there. But if you are born there, then motivation kahan se aayega? Like this is the, I mean, of course, this is a, none of this is scientific, but this is the story that.
I think, again, I give a lot of importance to A, the type of people I spend my time with.
Mm-hmm.
B, the kind of, you know, the kind of places I'm spending my energy on. Mm. So I think, and the environment I'm in always. So if I'm in Calcutta, for example, and I see that there is no growth possible, right? I will always be in that mindset ki haan, yahi hai. Yahi mera battlefield hai. Yahi pe upar niche ranks hai, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 available hai. You go to Bangalore, you see a lot of tech startups coming up, right? Yeah. Throw a stone and they'll, it'll hit a startup founder.
Correct.
Right. So if you want to become an entrepreneur, if you want to learn more about the ecosystem, your location matters, right? The kind of, it's not just about the location. It's about the people there.
Yeah.
Right.
The conversations.
People with experiences, people with knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Me sitting in Calcutta might not get enough value than me being in Bombay, sitting with you and talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Right. It's just not possible. You being in Bombay, if I would want you to connect me to say somebody else, I will always have to be in Bombay.
Yeah.
Right. In order to have good connections, in order to build up on what you've given me, I think that wo location matter karta hai.
Location matter karta hai. Tumhara peer group matter karta hai. Wo to bahut farak padta hai. Because it's not just about the talks that we have in the meetings. It's also about the talks that we have after the meeting when we're having coffee or hum log aise hi kuch random idea bol rahe. That also adds to the growth.
I was at this Twitter Spaces, I think, day before.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about audience building.
On Manish.
Manish nahi tha, Vaibhav tha.
Mm.
Vaibhav and his team member Uttam and Vedika, Vedika Bhaiya and some other Sakshi and everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting conversation. So it's funny that we strive to have good conversations with people who add value to our lives.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, we get value once we have more conversations with people, once we have more and more conversations with people. And funnily enough, we find them on the internet, right? You might go to school, not find the best buddy. You might go to college, not find the best buddy. But you might go on the internet. You find that, okay, there are so many like-minded people I can meet and talk to. And conversation will just flow. This is one of the conversations I've had. It just flows, right? I'm not making any extra effort to sort of make it happen. It is happening.
Yeah.
Similar to that space that I was in, I think fantastic space. People were adding value. I was learning from them and I was also adding value to the conversation.
Mm.
Right? So people will respect you. If you have that credibility, people will respect you. People will want to know more of you.
One beautiful takeaway from this is sometimes when you're on the internet and you're on social media, you might feel like you have to be comfortable with everyone. Or you have to be friendly or liked by everyone. And you realize, man, that's not true. When you're in school, you don't feel like that. You have your group. And baki log hai bahar mein, matlab jo bhi ho, you are acquaintances. You don't have to like them. And if somebody says something rude, like it's, you have your group, you have your core set of friends. It's time to bring that back into the online world.
100%.
Not everybody has to be treated in the same way. Not everybody has to be equally close to you.
Absolutely. I think absolutely second you on that. And there was this creator. I won't name the person.
Hmm.
She was telling me that, I actually don't know who to follow back.
Hmm.
And she was like, because that time she was building her account and, you know, just getting started with Reels and stuff.
Yeah.
She was like, Deepak, you've been in this space for quite a while. We come from the same city. So we come from Calcutta. We come from the same college.
Yeah.
And she was like, Deepak, you come from the, you've been in this space for quite a while now. Mm. There are a lot of people who are following me. Do you think I should follow them back? Is it like courtesy, or is it like, do I really have the need to feel the need to follow them back? And I'm like, because I'm a strong follower of the inner circle and the kind of people you follow.
Right.
So I'm like, only follow people with the idea that you want to get value out of them. Mm. Or maybe you find it funny, but not with the obligation ki yaar follow karna padega just because he or she is following.
Yeah.
And she was like, great perspective. Thank you so much. So I think it's just how it is. It's just the kind of people you spend your time with. It's the kind of content you consume. It's the kind of life you portray on social. Every single thing matters. Yeah. It's just brilliant that we live in an era where anybody can connect with anybody and the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Now
it's scary and beautiful.
It's scary. Yes, it is scary. Love the way you put it. It's scary and it is endless. Yeah. I mean, jitna bada aapka audience, utni badi responsibility. I mean, with great power comes great responsibility.
I wanted to take this conversation to Meta, but honestly, dude, that's another hour of
again, as I said, whenever you're in London next or whenever I'm in Mumbai next, we definitely catch up. 100%. I've got so much to talk about right now, but I'm sure with the paucity of time, there are a lot of things that we can't discuss.
Yeah.
I would love to. Of course, man. Just hit me up whenever you're in London. We'll definitely catch up.
For sure.
I'll hit you up once I'm in Mumbai so that we can catch up and have some 100%. Really great conversations and take one step ahead.
Done. See you, dude. Lovely catching up. Bye-bye.